So a large part of my role now is to oversee discipleship in the church. And I think a really, really good question to start with is, what is discipleship? What does it mean, discipleship? Because it seems to encompass quite a lot of different things, but what does it actually mean to be a disciple of Jesus? I think that discipleship is a journey, that it's about walking with Jesus. I read this in Mark 3 this morning, that Jesus called the 12 that they might be with him and that he might send them out. And it's this journey of being with Jesus and getting to know him better, and as we walk with him, becoming more and more like him. I think part of discipleship is about believing certain things. So it's certain things that we understand and believe with our minds. It's about living a Christ-like life, but it's also about experiencing him as well. There's a spiritual dimension, a supernatural dimension to discipleship. And the best way for this to happen, for discipleship to happen, is in community with other people, which is why one of the key ways that we do discipleship in our church is through small groups. Now, each term, we have an amazing and enviable selection of small groups in this church. And I think we can almost take it for granted a bit, because we've been doing this for a few years now. But actually, when I get to talk with other leaders from other churches, they are amazed by the small group offering that we have in this church. The number of the groups, the diversity of the groups, the quality of the groups, the quality of the leaders, people like you who step up and lead these groups term in, term out. And at the start of each term, in my role of overseeing discipleship, I now have the privilege of meeting with new small group leaders as they come in. And that is a real joy, because I get to talk with these new leaders about what their heart is for their group for that term and how it ties into the mission of the church. And it's really, really exciting. And I think this area of small groups and discipleship is an area that is full of life in our church. I'm really, really excited about what the Lord is already doing here. But what we'd like to do is to be more intentional about how we do discipleship in the church. So what happens when someone first comes into the church, and then what we offer them as a next step and a next step, so that actually on their journey with walking with Jesus, they can get to know him better. And obviously not everyone is going to follow this same pathway like robots, but that we offer a really helpful next step for people. So for the past few years, when people have walked into the church, the first thing that we've pointed them towards has been Connect. And some of you will have been through Connect. Some of you will have led Connect really, really faithfully over the years. And Connect has been really, really helpful for us. It's been really great, actually, because what it's done is it's established a sense of community and built relationship and togetherness amongst people. And it's introduced people, new people that are new to the church, to our core values as a church. Things like prayer and grace and the Holy Spirit. We've talked about all these things. And it's been a great chance for people who are new to the church to come and to meet leaders and to get to know a bit about the church. But the more that we grow as a church, the more intentional we want to be about discipleship and all the things that discipleship covers. So as people come into the church, we want to give them a real taste of what discipleship looks like. We have more than 900 people on Easter Sunday across our three meetings, which is just fantastic, isn't it? It's huge. And many of those people were visitors. And we're thinking, how can we offer a great next step for people that are new to Kings? So a few years back, Richard and John visited Mariners Church in California. Someone's got to do it, haven't they? but they found this discipleship experience that was called Rooted. And here's how Rooted was described. We could just put the quote on the screen. It said this about Rooted: beyond a program, through an experiential or small group, Rooted is a catalyst for life change. Through an experiential model, Rooted teaches people what it means to be a disciple of Jesus, built on faith's foundational elements such as worship, generosity, service, evangelism, prayer, and studying God's word. Now, I'll be honest, I am always slightly skeptical when something offers to change your life, when it offers to be life-changing. I think part of that is because I used to work in advertising, and I used to see the words life-changing attributed to all kinds of things, from things like perfumes to a new car. All kinds of things were apparently life-changing. But what people found was that this experiential model of discipleship seemed to work. And it seemed to work with people from all kinds of different backgrounds and all kinds of different faith levels. And in the US, thousands of people have been through Rooted, through this Rooted discipleship experience. They've had mixes of groups. So people that are Christians and people that are not Christians sharing together, and people from all kinds of different backgrounds, and they've seen lives transformed through Rooted. So what we did as a staff team a few years back was we tried it. We thought we'd pilot this with our staff team. And on the whole, it was a really, really good experience. Here are some of the things that our staff team said they liked about Rooted. Can we get those quotes up on the screen? That'd be really helpful. So someone said they loved hearing about the variety of what God has done in people's lives, and it raised their expectations of what God will do, now. Storytelling is a really key part of chapter one. I'll talk more about that in a minute. Someone said it had momentum, a good sense of movement. Someone said they enjoyed the experiences of it, having to be brave and stepping outside of their comfort zone. Again, I'll talk more about those experiences in just a second. Someone said it made me more willing and focused on sharing their story outside the church. And another quote we had was that they feel this could work well with a multicultural group and it could really break down barriers. So as a staff team, as we piloted Rooted, we shared things with each other that I think we haven't shared before. I think we were more honest and open and vulnerable with people than we had been. And actually that was really, really helpful in bringing us together and helping us to get to know each other better. And I think as a result of doing that, we kind of understood each other better, understood the background, understood the stories that people had better. Now some aspects of it didn't quite work. Some of it was a bit American. Some of it, it felt, no offense to any Americans in the room, but some of it felt like there was too much emphasis on certain things that where we're at as a church, we wouldn't put quite so much emphasis on that. And some of it, perhaps there wasn't enough emphasis on other things. So what we did was we took the material and we adapted it and we rewrote it and we restructured it. And then in autumn last year, in the autumn term, we piloted this new material under the name Chapter One with three small groups. So two of our young adult groups did it. And then Shay and Abigail's group, not that your group were not young adults as well, Abigail, sorry. They're very young adults as well. So we piloted it with these three groups. And what we wanted to see, was could this work with people from different ages? Could it work with people from different ethnic backgrounds? These are hugely important questions for us as a church. And again, some things worked really, really well with it. Some things didn't quite work and needed reshaping and tweaking. So what we've done again this term is adapted it and reshaped it a little bit and made sure that as far as it can, it works for people from all kinds of different backgrounds and all kinds of different ages. So what does it look like? What does chapter one look like? Well, it's built around seven rhythms. So seven things that we believe are absolutely foundational to being a follower of Jesus. So we'll keep these rhythms on the screen and I'll go through them a bit more in a minute. But why do I call these things rhythms? It's because these are core things that we'd like to be doing as followers of Jesus that almost become kind of second nature to us. Now, are any of you here swimmers? Any swimmers in the room? Okay, good. So I like swimming. And I used to swim quite a lot, and I used to be okay at it. But the problem now is that I don't really swim often enough to be good at it. And the thing is, I have a bit of a secret competitive edge. So what I do is I get in the pool, and I want to win. So I'll swim as fast as I can. And for a couple of lengths or so, I'll be really, really good. But what happens is, after about two or three lengths, my stroke becomes all erratic and all over the place, and I lose it, and I lose the rhythm. And what I've noticed is that good swimmers have this rhythm, this flow that they're in. And they're not always the most perfect physical specimens of people, but they're good. And why is it that they're in that rhythm and that flow? It's because day in, day out, they've got that sometimes, and they've worked on their stroke, and they've got into this rhythm. And, you know, I think that sometimes my approach to these things of discipleship can be similar to my approach to swimming. I can kind of go at certain ones of these things really, really hard. I might, at the start of the year, I might say, I'm going to read the Bible right through this year or in half a year and read it right through. But then you go a few weeks and it just stops and it becomes more erratic. Same thing with prayer and with things like generosity and reaching out. I can have the same approach to that. But the point is, we want to be, as followers of Jesus, in a rhythm of doing all of these things. So that's what chapter one is about, establishing all of these seven different things as rhythms in our lives. So let's look at these seven rhythms in more detail. So the first one is the rhythm of scripture. That's that we're regularly reading the Bible, that we do it day in, day out, not because we feel we should, but because actually we love to do it, because it brings us life. Because as we're reading the scripture, we hear from God through it. The rhythm of prayer, that we're regularly praying to God. That conversation with him would be a very natural part of our everyday lives, and that individually and corporately, when we meet together with our Christian friends, we're praying together and we're expecting God to speak to us. Rhythm of power, that we're looking for opportunities to be filled with the Holy Spirit, and that as we live out our lives, we have a reliance on him, and that we're expecting the supernatural things to break out in everyday life. So Francis Chan says this, I love this quote from him. It says, I don't want my life to be explainable without the Holy Spirit. I want people to look at my life and know I couldn't be doing this in my own power. So rhythm of power. And then rhythm of worship, that our whole lives would be an intentional act of worship to God. What we do with our minds, our thoughts, what we do with our bodies, how we use our time, that it would all be a deliberate act of worship to him. Rhythm of freedom, that we're choosing day after day to walk in the truth, that we're taking every thought captive, that we're choosing to believe what God says about us is true. Rhythm of generosity, that as a result of what Jesus has done for us, we are counter-culturally generous with our time, with our homes, with our lives, with our words, with our money, with everything that we have. And then rhythm of reaching out, that we are always, as a part of our discipleship, looking to make other disciples, that we're praying for people, that we're listening to them, eating with them, serving them and sharing our story with them. All those things as part of the blessed practices that we have in the church. Can this be done? Can you live like this? Because sometimes with that list of things, it can seem like these things can be unachievable for a follower of Jesus. But actually, when you look at the first followers of Jesus, this is what they did. They did this day in, day out. So we can just get Acts 2, 42 to 47 on the screen, please, if that's okay. Not just that bit, but so 42 to 47, that's great, thank you. So it says this, they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching. So that's the rhythm of scripture. And to fellowship, to the breaking of bread, and to prayer, rhythm of prayer. Everyone was filled with awe at the many wonders and signs performed by the apostles, rhythm of power. All the believers were together and had everything in common. They sold property and possessions to give to anyone who had need, rhythm of generosity. Every day they continued to meet together in the temple courts. They broke bread in their homes and ate together with glad and sincere hearts. I think that's the rhythm of freedom, rhythm of worship. They were praising God and enjoying the favor of all the people. And the Lord added to their number daily those who were being saved. I think that ties in with the rhythm of reaching out. And, you know, in some senses, we think these things ought to be natural responses to what Jesus has done for us. But we all know that we need to be intentional about these things. So chapter one helps you to be intentional about all of these things. How does chapter one work? So each week during chapter one, you focus on a different one of those seven rhythms. And each week there are five devotionals to look at each week, or five Bible passages that you can look at. And then when you come together in your small group at the end of that week, you talk about what you've learned through the devotions of them, and you explore that rhythm together. Talk about your experiences of them, share stories of them. So in week four, we can just put the rhythms back on the screen. That would be hugely helpful. Thank you, Adrian. So in week four, for instance, there are five passages to read about worship. What is worship? What does it mean to worship God? What does it mean to worship anything or anyone? And how can we worship with our whole lives, our whole beings? So you have the five devotionals, and then you talk about that rhythm in the session. And we do that with every single rhythm. But then, as well as talking about these things, we deliberately make space to experience these things together. So chapter one is intentionally experiential. So in the prayer week, for instance, the week on the rhythm of prayer, we don't just talk about prayer, we experience praying together. So there's a two-hour prayer experience within chapter one. Some of you might think that's terrifying. Some of you might think that's not long enough. But the two-hour prayer experience within chapter one. And it's really well led through. So it's not just standing there and praying for 2 hours, but it's led through. So that we can all experience these things together. In the Freedom Week, we're not just talking about what freedom means. You get to have a mini freedom experience. So we get to hear some truths about what God says about who we are. And we look at perhaps some of the things we've believed about ourselves and whether these two things line up. So you get to have an experience of freedom. And within the 10 weeks, there's a serving experience as well, where you get to experience serving some of the most vulnerable people in our town, perhaps through a ministry that we have set up in the church, perhaps through something like the King's Table that we're starting this term, to come and be part of that and serve as part of that. So it's deliberately experiential. It's not just teaching about things, it's experiencing things together as well. And then throughout, there are opportunities for people to share their story. So each week, people are encouraged to tell their story. And if you're a Christian, it's the story of what God has done in your life, how he's changed your life. If you're not a Christian, it's the story of what has brought you to this point. What are those things that have helped shape you? Why are you here? What has brought you to chapter one? And you know, that's a hugely important leveler, actually, because it's not just some people who've got all the answers teaching other people. It's us all in the room, understanding that we're all on a journey and sharing stories together. And there's a great openness and a great connection that comes as we're really, really honest with each other about what has brought us to this point. And really, the teaching in chapter one comes through the Bible passages that you read beforehand. So you read those together, and as you share as a group, you're not being taught, you're just sharing together and experiencing things together. And there's power in this. Now, chapter one is foundational. I think it's really, really important to say this, because obviously we're covering quite a lot of ground in 10 weeks. So these seven rhythms are looked at over 10 weeks. But the point is that we're just touching on all these different things. And at the end of chapter one, you then have a choice about what to do. So you can stay together as a whole group. And maybe there's one of these areas that you want to look at further as a group. Or maybe you want to experience some of these things as an individual. Maybe you look at the thing about freedom and on that week and you think, actually, this is an area of discipleship I really need to look at more. And there'll be an offer to do that, an offer of a next step. So for each one of these rhythms, we'll offer a next step in the church that you can go into to explore that further. But the important thing is that as you go through chapter one, that these seven rhythms are then established and taken through into whatever follows. So we would love to see all these seven rhythms eventually come into all our small groups as chapter one is rolled out. And some of these things, some of the next steps for these things are still being worked out. So we have some things in the church already as part of our small group offering, which might be a great next step for people after chapter one. But some of these things we still need to add to our small group offering. And you might be thinking now, wouldn't it be great if we had this, focus on prayer or this focus on worship? Maybe there's an idea for a small group that's shaping in some of your minds already about something that could follow on from chapter one. I'd love to hear about that. But in this way, chapter one will become the heart of a new discipleship pathway. The thing that we encourage people to go to first, and then we signpost people out of afterwards. Does that make sense? Good. Another thing that chapter one does is it plays a really, really important part in leadership development in the church. So Neil's role, as he hands over leadership to John of the church, he'll be focusing on leadership development. And chapter one is a key part of that. And the reason I say that is that the leaders who lead chapter one each term will be deliberately looking for potential leaders within their group. And those people will then be given responsibility to lead things throughout chapter one and brought into our leaders' meetings as well. And we'll be looking at ways that we can train those leaders up and equip them to be able to lead small groups and things in the future. So where are we at with chapter one this term? Well, firstly, we're inviting people who went to Alpha last term. So we had a fantastic Alpha group last term. We had about 30 people who were coming week in, week out. We met here, we had a meal together, we watched the Alpha videos. And when Alpha came to an end last term, everyone was asking, well, what do we do next? A lot of them wanted to stay together and be part of that group together. And we were able to say to them, we've got this new thing, chapter one, which we'd love you to be part of. So 2/3 of that group, so 20 people, from Alpha have now signed up to do chapter one this term. I think that's really, really exciting in itself. It's good. Now, secondly, this term, we are inviting anyone who's new to Kings to be part of chapter one. So we will not be running with Connect this term. Chapter one has become our new kind of first thing that we're pointing people towards this term. Why? Because we believe in this. Obviously, it's still quite early days in terms of the material, but we believe that this has the power to really bring people into community, into the church, and start them on a great discipleship journey. So it'll be open to anyone who's new to Kings. But also, I would like this term to open up to anybody who would like to experience chapter one. And in fact, over the next 3 or 4 years, we would love the whole church to experience chapter one. And the reason for that is so that we all have a shared language with this. So that actually when we talk about things like the prayer experience, when we talk about our 7 different rhythms of discipleship, we all know what we're talking about because we've all experienced it for ourselves. So I would love some of you to consider actually being part of chapter one this term, signing up for it and experiencing it for yourself. So here's what, there's a few things actually I'd like to ask you as leaders to do. First is that, could you experience it? Have you got any free time that perhaps some of you are leading groups and things already, but could you experience chapter one for yourself this term? So we've got 20 people from Alpha. I'd suggest we might have another 5 to 10 spaces open for new people, and then there'll be another 20 spaces or so available to run chapter one this term. I'd love to have about 50 people on chapter one this term. If you would like to sign up for that, I'd love you to do that. It will run on Tuesday nights from the 7th of May from 8 to 9:30. The second thing I'd love you to do is to start promoting it with others. As I say, if our leaders catch the heart of this, then the whole church, I believe, will get excited about this. So if you're talking with new people in the church, if there's new people coming into your groups and things, encourage them to be part of chapter one. Or you might think perhaps you could lead a chapter one group. What does it take to be a leader of a chapter one group? Well, we're not looking for teachers here. I'm looking for people to facilitate. People to kind of shepherd a group, people who are good at kind of protecting that space in a small group session and inviting everyone to be able to speak as part of that. So you might think, well, I can't necessarily lead a group because I'm not a great teacher. I'm not looking for great teachers here. Just people who will open up that space to people who will facilitate conversation. If that's you, I'd love to chat with you. We're still looking perhaps for 1 or 2 more leaders for this term. If you can do that, you'd love, and you're available on Tuesday nights, let's talk. I'd love to talk with you about whether you'd like to be involved in that. And I think that's it, really. So it starts on the 7th of May. I'd love you to experience it. I'd love you to pray about it. I'd love you to talk with others about it. And I'd love you to consider leading it if you feel that would be right for you. So that is chapter one. Any questions at all? Just for the, we've probably got about 3 or 4 minutes just for any questions that you have. Yeah, Susan. So the question was about for people with learning difficulties or who perhaps can't read too much, you find it hard to be able to read. Would this be suitable for them as well? It will be. And the reason for that is that all the devotionals that we have each week, we're not quite there yet, actually, for this term. But all the devotionals that we have for each week will be recorded as audio versions as well, so that you don't have to necessarily read through lots of material, but you can choose to listen to them rather than just reading them. And within the groups, it's a lot about sharing experiences, so that you could do this without being able to read too much.
So what about if you're talking about them doing stuff at home? Some of them won't have cassette recorders or ability to be able to listen to stuff at home. So how will that work if you've got the audio? I know from experience with our group that will be a difficulty.
I think that would be good for us to talk about how we can make that work. So if we could talk afterwards about specific situations and things, and perhaps think around that. As I said, I think last time at the Leaders' Day, I'd love to be able to make this accessible to the whole church, no matter what their background is, what their level of reading ability is and things like that. Can we talk about that afterwards? Yeah. John, did you want to say something?
Yeah, I think it's worth also saying that within the devotionals, there are deliberately 3 different levels set out for people, again, so people can choose based on maybe how much time they have, but also just how your mind works. So there's, you know, from the most basic, least time consuming, through to kind of actually getting into studying this passage using commentaries, and you know, and it's there for people to make that choice, so people can use them as much or as little as they want, and that will be very much encouraged. It doesn't matter if you haven't not doing this level of study of the scripture. It's just read it. At the most basic level, it's just read that scripture and ask God, what do you want to say to me? And just write something down. That's the most. And so in that sense, yes, very much thinking about the accessibility, but I agree, it'd be good for you to have a conversation as well.
That's great. Thanks, John. Yes.
Is there any way that we can access this material? Because I don't have time to join another group, that we could actually access the material so we could have a look at it and see what we think.
That's a really good question, actually. Potentially. Can I think that through a little bit? It'll be good. In what sense? So that you can look at it and decide whether to be part of that in the future? Yeah, I can certainly make that available. We're still at the final few stages of putting the material together. But when I've kind of printed out, there'll be a leader's guide, there'll be participants' guides as well. So I can certainly make that available to you to have a look at. Yeah, no problem at all. Linda?
I suppose as we're being encouraged to lead, what sorts of other resources would there be apart from the guides? Are there going to be DVDs or like kind of evening plans or things like that?
So within the leader's guide, it explains the heart of chapter one. It's got all the material you need to lead a session. So it has all the questions to ask on an evening. Obviously, as leaders, you can take that stuff and you adapt it to the group. But the whole lesson, it's not really a lesson plan, but all the questions are there. It's all laid out for you within that guide. There's no DVDs yet because we've created this ourselves. So it's all very new. But yeah, I think most of what you need to lead it would be in that leader's guide. Yeah, is that helpful? Thanks.
With the Connect groups, there was the ability for people that are new to join and any week. How is that going to affect the way that Chapter 1 works, and what do you do with those people that join through the term?
That, Paul, is an excellent question. I was hoping no one would ask it, but it's a very good question. That is something that I was... You're right. So Chapter 1, it requires you to be in it from the start, really. Because I think you miss out. If you miss a week, you miss out on one of the rhythms, and we'll encourage commitment as part of it. That is a great question, and it's still something that I'm kind of working through this term. And I'm sorry that I'm not quite there with an answer to that yet. I've got some thoughts on it, but I need some more conversations need to happen before I can give you a full answer on that. So sorry. Yeah, so you're asking, can they grow into an interim group? I think it'd be good for you and I to look at the groups that we already have and to see to chat with some of the leaders about whether these groups could be open to people joining that. So there might be a groups that are appropriate for different ages and things that people could join for a while. Yeah, I think that would be helpful. But let's you and I talk about the groups that are running this term, Paul, and see which ones would work with that. Yeah. Ultimately, I'd love it to work across different ages. So I'd love it to work with the kids. I'd love it to work with youth as well. But we'd need to adapt the material to make that work. So that's a case of working with Claire and Ben and with Andy and Nicola to make that work. But yes, no, it's a great point. Yeah.